Praise the Lord. We thank God for giving us another opportunity that we can gather together as a church. Church, wherever we are, we thank God because God has given us an opportunity to worship Him, to glorify His name, and also to say how good our God is in our life. A couple of days back, you know, my wife and I had the privilege to go to our church building. Before we left the church building, you know, we went to the sanctuary, the place I usually stand to pray. And so my wife and I, you know, took turns to pray. And our prayer was, you know, Lord, we ask for your intervention in these turbulent times. At the same time, we were also praying and asking God to show His favor upon His people. And we prayed that, you know, we will have another opportunity as a church that we can gather and worship God together as one family. You know, God has been so wonderful. And we thank God for the word that God has given to us, that we can draw strength from God's word. Because God's word is a great encouragement for each and every one of us. Now, before we dive into the scriptures, I thought it would be good for us to spend some time just asking God to be with us as we seek Him, as we seek His face, as we seek His guidance in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us, O God. We thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus, a name which is higher than any other name, O God, a name which is so powerful, a name that speaks about love, about a God who cares for us. Lord, as we spend some time looking at your word, we pray that we will draw strength from your word. Speak to us, O God. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I may ask you, you know, what is your favorite psalm? A psalm that has been very inspirational, a psalm that has been encouraging, a psalm that we will always go to in times of need, a psalm that we always lean on for strength and guidance in our life. Now, many of us will say, you know, these are the psalms. You know, these are the psalms that really motivates me, that guides me through. Some of us might say, you know, Psalm 23 is our favorite psalm, right? Because we say the psalm talks about God is our shepherd. And the writer of the psalm says, God is my shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And because God is leading me, he says, I fear no evil. And lastly, he concludes by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And to some of us, Psalm 121 might be a favorite psalm because it's a psalm that invites us to look into the hills because that's the place where our help comes from God. And it also reminds us that our God is a God who's there for us at each and every moment and to help us skip from the evil one. To some of us, Psalm 46 might be a favorite one because it speaks about a God who's our refuge, a God that we can always run to for guidance, for strength, for our lives. It also says that even though the earth may give away, the nations may range, kingdoms may fall, but God is our refuge. And so the psalmist invites us by saying, be still and know that I am God. Maybe to some of us, Psalm 84 might be another favorite psalm for us because it speaks about the dwelling place of God. It's so wonderful to dwell in the presence of God. And the writer of the particular psalm says that the Lord is my sun and my shield. You know, when you look at all these psalms, you realize that, you know, life can be difficult. Life can be dangerous. But in these Psalms, we see God's faithfulness to us through difficult and dangerous moments in our life. In our journey of life, we can always sense the presence of God through the Psalms. And it speaks to us even in our life too. You know, the passage which I wanted to talk to you is another favorite Psalm to many of us, right? It's Psalm 91. When you look at Psalm 91, you might realize the writer's name is not mentioned. But when you look at the events that is seen in 91, you know, many scholars are of the opinion it is the Psalm of Moses, because it speaks about dangerous events when the Jews or the Israelites were having, when they were wandering in the wilderness. It describes about their struggles, their pain. And above that, they see God's protection, God's love, and God's blessing in their life. You know, Psalm 91, it's a powerful psalm, because even till today, in the Jewish faith, you know, it is recited before bedtime. People tend to read that psalm because they find protection. They see God being with them at every moment of their life. And Psalm 91 is also a psalm that we tend to read during the Lent season, because in the verses 11 to 12, Satan is using those words from this particular psalm to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at that psalm, one of the first things when you see is about human challenges or human predicament, life challenges and life's predicament. When you look at life, there are many definitions about life. But when you look at scripture in Psalm 111, it says, "My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." In James 4:11, you know, you read, "Yet you do not know that tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And so Psalm 91, it's a powerful psalm that reminds us about predicament, about life challenges. Let me read a couple of these verses. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with the feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." You know, Moses speaks about human predicament. He experiences many dangers when he was leading the large crowd of people from in the hot desert, without a large army protecting them, without a permanent dwelling place for them. And so when you look at this particular psalm, there are certain words that you begin to see. One of the words you see is pestilence. You see plague, you see terror, you see lion, and you see words that speaks about their struggles, that speaks about the danger they were in, the things that they encountered, the adverse situation that was taking place in their life. In verse 3, if you read, it says, you know, the snare of the fowler. In other words, in an ancient time, the hunters used this to catch the birds. So it was something like they were looked by the enemy to capture them, to bring them under captivity. And in verse 3 also, you will also see, you know, the word pestilence, right? It is a deadly epidemic, a plague. Perhaps they were experiencing it during the time of their journey. And in verse 5, we read about the terror at night and arrows that fly by day. And when you read verses 6 to 7 of Psalm 91, you know, it describes the many destruction that people are facing at every side of their life. And so in Psalm 91, Moses is looking at some of the struggles, some of the challenges that they were facing. Maybe Moses faced literal dangers. But from this particular psalm, we draw some deeper Christian principles for each and every one of us in our journey. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, he says, you know, "These are our examples that we might not desire evil. That these are the examples that God has given to us to help us in our Christian journey. Yes, James in chapter 1, verse 12, he calls us to persevere. Now, we are in a difficult time, right? And so the Word of God wants us to persevere. Times might be bad. The journey might be a struggle. And sometimes the future might not be seen. We might be thinking, am I able to see the end of the tunnel? But as James writes, that we are to persevere because God works everything according to his plan and purposes, you know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And so when we face all these dangers in life and all these things in our life, I think the psalm is teaching us an important truth for us to look at God. And in verse 2, you know, he beautifully says, I will say of the Lord. In other words, you know, he looks at the terror of the day, the terror by night. He sees the pestilence, the plague. He sees all the adverse situations. But even in the midst of all these, Moses is saying, I will say of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, this is what I see about God, and this is what I say about my God. The word say, you know, in the Hebrew form, is an ongoing action. In other words, it was a habitual thing for Moses. When life was difficult, he was looking at God and saying, Lord, you are my strength. You know, when you look at the passage, we see four names that Moses is referring to God. He sees God's greatness. He sees God's power. And he says, this is sufficient for our lives. Firstly, let's look at Psalm 91. And let me read in verses 1 to 2. In verse 1, he says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The first word he's using here is the word the Most High, Elyon. In the Hebrew word, it's a very powerful word because it speaks about high, it speaks about highness, it speaks about the upper. It was a term that was used for rulers in those days. In other words, the word Elyon, the psalmist is talking about, is about God's exalted majesty, God's supremacy. And God is so sovereign, God's preeminence. That's the way he sees God. When you read Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, when Abraham encounters the priest, Melchizedek, and this is what Abraham is saying. If you read Genesis 14, 18, he says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. No, Melchizedek gives a picture of Christ in several ways. It contains the name of God in Scripture. Many of times, you know, whenever we face problems, when we go to certain shopping areas, if the person who's taking care of us is not so helpful, immediately our response is, you know, I want to speak to your superior. I want to speak to someone above you. So that's the kind of image Moses is telling, that this God is the Most High. There is no one higher than this God. He's higher than everything. In other words, when Moses was encountering adverse situations in his journey, when he was bringing the Israelites or the Hebrew people, he saw that God was higher than all these problems and all these difficulties, you know, they were facing. And, you know, it's so powerful, my friends. As Moses said, I will say of the Lord. He says, and this is my constant, my habitual way of saying that God is the Most High. When we are facing difficult times, even times like this, and I would challenge you to look at it and say, I will say that God is the Most High above all these things. Secondly, when I look at the word, he says, you know, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty, he uses the word Shaddai. Right? It's another Hebrew word that means who is self-sufficient. You know, this word is used almost more than 48 times in the Old Testament. It's a term or a title that is given to God, that he is almighty, he is all-powerful, he is all-sufficient. He needs nothing outside himself. And he needs nothing from us. God is adequate for every situation beyond our imagination, my friend. God is sufficient for each and every situation that you and I are facing. And he is our help. He is there to help us. In Genesis 17, verse 1, when you see the promise of Isaac that was taking place, you know, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. I will give you. I will provide you. I am sufficient. This God is able to meet all the things that you and I need in life, my friend. Nothing is comparable to this God. He's so powerful. He's so omnipotent in our lives. And secondly, when you look at that particular word, Shaddai, you know, it has a Hebrew root meaning breast. In other words, God is the source of our daily sustenance and strength. He is the source who is able to strengthen us to provide each and every need that we have in our lives. And so, you and I are called to come and to take rest, to see God as our dwelling place. In these times, it's natural for many people, right, to look at other places for some kind of solution. But God is inviting us to come because he is all sufficient. He's able to help us and he's able to give us the protection that you and I need, my friend. And that's why in verse 2, he says, I will say, I will say. So Moses is looking at his life, the difficulties that he was challenging, and he's saying that this God is almighty, Shaddai, who's all-sufficient. He's the source for my daily sustenance and strength. Thirdly, when you look at Psalm 91, you know, Moses says, I will say of the Lord. And this is, he's saying, this is what I'm going to say about God. And this is what I'm going to repeat about God and again and again. And the third name that he's using here is the Lord. In other words, Yahweh. And every time you see the word Lord in caps in the Old Testament, you know, the English translation is Yahweh or Yehovah. Now, the ancient Jews, you know, held this particular word in so much of reverence that they dare not even speak it loud, but referred it simply as the name. And this is the third name, the Lord, which is a personal name of God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. If you read Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, God said to Moses, right, I am the Lord. He says to Moses, I am the Lord. I am the existing one. That Yahweh has no beginning and no end, my friend. He is the source. He is the source and the cause of everything. And this Yahweh is a covenant-making God, a God who is so faithful in his promises. When Jesus was ministering to the disciples, you know, one of the words that you begin to see the early, before the words is the word Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. Yahweh is with us. The Lord is with us. And lastly, you know, the writer of this particular psalm, he says, you know, when I look at the adverse situations, you know, I call God as the Most High. When I go through my journey of life, he says, I see the Lord. I see Yahweh. And lastly, he finishes by the word, he says, my God in whom I trust, Elohim, my God. The name first appears in the very beginning of the Bible. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this name is the second most used name. It refers to the God of creation. In the beginning, God. And this God spoke and he created everything. And this God is a very personal God. He's my God. He's our God, my friend. When you look at Elohim, when it's typically translated in Greek, it's the word theos, right? And that's where we get the term theology. And so Moses says, you know, he's the God of creation. He's the God who created the entire world. He's the God who created me. And so he sees me, he knows me, he calls me my name. He's Elohim, my God. He is my Almighty. And I'll say he's my Lord. He's my Almighty, the Most High. Dear friends, you know, the question that is before us, who is our God today? How do we see our God that we worship? Before I conclude, I was just, when I was reading certain writings, I was just fascinated, you know, to read about Martin Luther. When Martin Luther was reading this particular psalm, Psalm 91, he was so impressed with verse 2 that he wrote a beautiful hymn, which is sung in many churches. He wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Our God is a mighty fortress. Now, looking at the world or looking at what's happening in the world, can we say, like Moses or the writer of this particular psalm, I will say, I will call upon this God Almighty. I'll run to him who is the Most High. He's the Lord, my God. And that's the way Moses was looking at God, my friend. What is our picture about God in difficult times? What is our picture about God in difficult times? Let me close with a story which appeared in the Mind Changes book. It's about a little boy, a lad. He was in his kindergarten class, and his kindergarten teacher asked that boy what he was drawing. And this boy was just drawing. And he said, you know, I'm drawing a picture of God. The teacher smiled and responded, but nobody knows what God looks like. And the boy, you know, was just busy drawing. And he says, after I am finished, they will see. Even though he was so innocent in the way he answered, it's so profound, my friend. You know, he said, once I'm done, you'll see, you know, who is my God. What is the picture of God, your picture of God in difficult times or times like this, my friend? Do we see God as the Most High? Can we echo the words of the writer of this psalm by saying, I would say that he's the Almighty, the Shaddai, he's all sufficient? Or will I call him the Lord? A God is so faithful that I can trust him. He's my God, Elohim, a personal God who created me and he knows me. He calls me by name. And so, my friend, let me invite you. Let me invite you to say the words like Moses said, you know, in difficult times, just call upon God. Call upon the name of the Lord, because there is power in the name of the Lord, my friend. When we call upon Him in faith and confidence, the Lord hears us. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. I pray that God will continue to help us to grow in our faith, that we will draw much more closer to Him, that we will see God's greatness, God's love, God's goodness, God's power, His omnipotent, His love upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful reminder that we can always call upon You, Lord. You're the Most High. There is nothing above You, Father, and You know everything. We thank You, Lord, that You, the Almighty, the Shaddai, we thank You, Lord, that You are our God. Help us, Lord, to just run to You. Help us, Lord, to see Your greatness. Help us, Lord, to see You, Jesus, to focus on Christ. We thank You, Lord, because we can always come to You. We love You. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.